Well, Joan McLeod is one of the most respected playwrights in the country. She's won virtually every theater award in Canada, including the Simonovitch Prize and the Governor General's Award. Gracie is the seventh play of Joan's to be produced or presented at the Belfry. She teaches playwriting at UVic, and we're very lucky to have her here with us at Before Play. Please welcome Joan McLeod.
Hi, Gregor.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, everyone. How's this? Is it okay?
Oh, it's perfect, yeah.
Oh, good.
What inspired you to write Gracie?
Like Merida, I've always been interested in different religious fringe groups in BC. I had a play, The Hope Slide, my second one-person show, that was set in the West Kootenai about the Dukhobors, in part. I think not too long after that, that would have been kind of mid-90s, Bountiful was on my radar just a little bit. Just always really curious about the community. I kept up a little bit with what was happening in the courts in the 90s, that kind of thing. I was really interested in it and never thought it was something I was going to write about. And all of a sudden, the idea of Gracie started developing, just the character. I always start just with one voice, one character. And sure enough, she was going to be living in a polygamist community, much to my horror, since I knew it was going to be such a tough task to try to create that world and to write about something that's essentially secret, a lot of it.
Why did you choose that time of life? And maybe it's an obvious question, but it strikes me as kind of the perfect age range and the perfect perspective. I wonder why you wanted it to be this girl, Gracie, in those years.
Yeah. In the play, yeah, Gracie starts out when she's 8, and by the time it ends, she's nearly 16. And something that I was really struck by when I started researching the play, especially listening to interviews and reading about the so-called lost boys, the boys that are often kicked out of the community, in particular in Colorado City, and to a certain extent in Bountiful as well, would talk about how ideal their early childhood was. They couldn't have asked for more. To be raised in a beautiful place and be raised with love and with a strong sense of faith and family, and what a terrible thing it is to lose that. So I wanted to start when Gracie is 8 and the family moves up from Utah, from what is now Colorado City, from the community there, which is starting to really go into disarray because of Warren Jeffs about to take hold and that sort of thing. They come to Bountiful, and she's in paradise, and she's with her mother and her sisters and brother, who she loves, and she feels embraced by the community. I really wanted to understand what works in the community. I had a really long list of what I figured didn't work, and so I really wanted to look at what is positive along with what is negative, and that meant looking at a range of ages. And always, when I finally decided it was a one-person show, just wanting to keep the point of view just really, really close to Gracie and to her, and not let my agenda get in the way too much. Yeah.
This is the seventh of your plays to be seen at the Belfry, but mm-hmm. it's the first one of your plays that's premiered here. I wonder, from your perspective, how is the production process for a premiere different from a second or subsequent production?
Oh, it's very different. We're working really hard. The Belfry, since they commissioned the play and have been partnering now with ATP, they've put in place just a structure that is really terrific for me. We had two workshops, one in Calgary in May, and then here in Victoria in the beginning of October. We've had an extended rehearsal period. We have five previews. Usually the Belfry just has two, and that's all because of my what I asked for, because it's brand new work. And we're working really hard. We're, you know, rehearsing again today. I gave Lily, our wonderful actor, rewrites last night. And I so appreciate the lovely things people have been saying about my plays this morning. All I'm thinking of right now is what's not working and how much we still have to do before we open on Thursday. And I also know that after we open, I will keep working. A play never settles for me until at least the second production. Mm. You know, I have the opportunity with this one to go to Calgary in February and rehearse there for a week and then go to previews there. And I know I'll have an opportunity to rewrite yet again. And so all of those things are really essential. It really is a collaborative endeavor. You know, Vanessa downplayed a little bit what a dramaturg does. She is like an unbelievable dramaturg, and that I get both from her, that she's a director and a dramaturg. I knew that would really push me. Like, never, you know, she's never heavy with it, but I knew that she would know how to pull things out of me. And so we have been having very long email conversations and phone conversations before she arrived in rehearsal about the script, and also getting great notes from Michael. So, you know, it really is a team effort. And so, yeah, and it's thrilling to premiere at home. This has never happened to me before, and it's really freaky and scary.
I bet.
Too. It really is. Yeah.
So what was that like? Last night you had your first audience,
oh
right?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, there's the fact that it's at home, but what's it like to go in there and sit among people watching your creation for the first time? And then after that, how does it influence or not?
It's really scary. It really is.
I believe
and
it.
Yeah, and the couple sitting just down from me yesterday, just as the lights are going down, she said, "Oh, I think this is a one-person show." And he went, "Oh, really?" You know, and I thought, "Oh, so, you know." It was a first preview, so of course there's some mistakes and everything isn't going smoothly all the time. But Lily did a great job, and we got through the first preview, and the audience didn't leave. So, so that was absolutely thrilling, and I felt that they listened. You know, you can tell when an audience mm-hmm. Isn't engaged; they get antsy, and they're looking at their watch, and I felt that didn't happen. So that was thrilling. Because you just don't know, and I have zero visual sense as a writer. I don't imagine it up on the stage when I write. I'm terrible that way. It happens on the page for me. So this part of the process, it's a big one, you know. It's very strange.
Anyone who's tried to write anything, I think, knows. that it's difficult sometimes to stop editing. Oh, I shouldn't say anyone, but a lot of people know that. And so how do you know? I mean, how will you know whether it's today or tomorrow or you know, a few months from now? How will you know when it's done?
Good question. I will have to stop very soon, just because we are opening. Yeah. And I want Lily to feel settled. And it's wonderful to work with a really young, smart actor who can absorb a lot of rewrites. But I'm going to have to back off pretty soon, because she will say yes to anything with her big, open heart. And she will just stay up half the night and work the new lines if she has to. She's really great. But I will stop probably by, you know, after Tuesday, maybe. Maybe after that preview. So we'll see. Yeah.
You're clearly a well-loved playwright, as we've seen here today, and you're premiering your play here for the first time at the Belfry, but I imagine it's not all accolades being a Canadian playwright. I wonder what are some of the tougher times, you know, some of the heartbreak versus the joy and the satisfaction.
Yeah.
What are the highs and lows of it?
Oh, yeah, it is all of the above, and you just never know. And I think I'm proud of all my plays and that I've worked really hard on all of them and given it my best. And, some aren't as good as the others. Things just don't always quite work. And that's heartbreaking sometimes, you know. But I feel like I've been really fortunate. I've always been well served, in particular by a first production. I've never been to watch one of my plays and thought the cast was being lazy about it. I might not have agreed with the interpretation, but I thought they were giving it their all. So I've been pretty fortunate, and usually my work has been fairly well received, and I'm really lucky about that. But you know, you never know. And it's very hard in Canada to get a second production. You know, I think there's more money in grants, perhaps, to produce new work. And certainly we want our emerging playwrights to enter the fold and be seen on our stages. But it is often very difficult to get a second production in Canada. It's hard to make a living at it, all those kinds of things, but it's great. It's a great gig. It's lovely to be a writer. I mean, I always say I feel like a writer first, kind of, and a playwright second, but I just feel so lucky that I get to be a lonely old writer 90% of the time, and then this 10% of the time, I get to work with incredible artists. They get to know the work as well or better than I do. Vanessa and Lily know this play as well as I do right now. And that is something that is very special about theater. And, you know, I'm in the writing department at UVic, and you know, my novelist colleagues and everyone, well, isn't it awful when you have to give up control? And no, but you also, all of a sudden, you have people who kind of share the burden of it. You know, like I sat with Vanessa last night, and I know that this is just as big for her as it is for me, and there's just something really beautiful about that, and beautiful about watching our young actor. It's just thrilling to watch what she's doing and to witness that. So we get to do all of that and work at the Belfry, which is such a like, honestly, it's just such a lovely place to work. I had my 63rd birthday on our dress rehearsal. Like, could there be a nicer way to celebrate, that age? So it's great.
I want to ask you finally the same question I asked Vanessa Porteous. What do you hope that audiences walk away with after seeing Gracie?
Just to think about girls like Gracie, think about Bountiful and other communities like that. It does feel like it's our backyard, in a sense, and I think it's an important discussion to have. And, I was saying, Gregor, that I went into the, I started the play, I had an agenda. I thought, polygamy, should be made illegal. I just wanted to blow up the place, basically. And I learned a lot writing it. And Gracie became a fully human person for me when I pulled back and I respected her faith and let that remain intact throughout the play. And I honored that in her. And so it's a difficult one to understand, to wrap our heads around this. It's complicated, and we'll talk about it and see what happens. It's in our courts right now, and keep an eye on it, and we'll see.
Well, it's great of you to talk to us today. I know it's a very busy time, so thank you very much for coming. Thanks for
thank
talking
you,
to me.
Thank you, Gregor. It was great. Thanks.
Joan MacLeod's Gracie is opening this week at the Belfry, Thursday night, January 26th. It runs until February the 19th here at the Belfry Theatre. I want to remind you, the box office is open if you haven't got tickets yet. Thanks very much to all of you for coming in person. It's been great to have such an attentive audience. Thank you again, and I hope you enjoy the show.